Certainly is an honor and privilege to be here this evening with you all to provide a lesson of God's Word to you, and I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I wanted to say Happy Father's Day to those fathers that are out there. We thank you for what you do for your families and your friends, and we're just thankful for what you do. And with that said, my lesson is on finding balance in life, and I'd like to start, oops, let me turn this on here. I'd like to start with a story. So when I was younger, I was really into skateboarding, and my parents bought me a skateboard, and I was super excited about it. And at the time, I was also really into Back to the Future. And I loved the part on the film where the main character was holding onto the back of someone's bumper, and it was pulling them along. And me being a kid, not being so smart, I was like, I'm going to try that. So I waited one day until my mom decided that she was going to leave for work. She had a little Ford Festiva, and I crouched down on my skateboard up behind her vehicle and held onto the bumper. She backed out of the driveway, I stayed on just fine, and then she started to go. Started getting some speed going, and then all of a sudden I noticed that my skateboard was just wobbling back and forth really bad, like really unbalanced, and I'm like, I'm going to fall. So I let go of the bumper, and I started going a little bit, and then I hit a rock. And just tumbled. And I must have been hiding pretty good because my mom just kept going. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is that sometimes life can become unbalanced. And we struggle to keep ourselves upright, leaving opportunity for Satan to tempt us and cause us to sin. Our scripture reading this evening was 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8, which said, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." When we are unbalanced in different aspects of our lives, we can become vulnerable, and Satan can exploit our vulnerabilities. So how do we find balance in our lives? Well, first, let's take a look at the word balance. The definition of balance is an even distribution of weight, enabling for someone to remain upright and steady. The definition of unbalanced is to make someone or something unsteady so that they trip or fall. Too much time, effort, or resource is being used in one aspect of your life and not enough in another. So what Bible principles can we apply to our lives to keep ourselves upright, make ourselves less vulnerable to Satan's temptations? So I've broken down about having a balanced life into three categories: personal life, family life, and most importantly, spiritual life. Because if we have spiritual balance, everything else falls into place. So the first category I want to talk about is personal life. And a few things come to mind when we're talking about personal life. There's work life, personal well-being, and our emotional state. So balance in work life. We all have work to do in some form or fashion. Whether it's working in home, caring for your kids or your loved ones, to working outside the home, or providing for yourself or your family. So when we become unbalanced in our work life, it can affect a lot of other aspects of our life. So what can you do when your work life is not right, and what does the scripture say about how we should work? In Genesis, by the way, I have all my scriptures written down here, so I'll try not to say them too fast if you guys want to follow along. So in Genesis, chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it." Since the beginning, work has been an intricate part of God's plan for humanity. He created it. And that means we need to view the act of working as a gift from God. Thinking of work in a spiritual sense can help you get through the day or even week, knowing that what you're doing is bringing honor to God. Some causes of an unbalanced work life may be increased responsibilities at work, working longer hours resulting in being fatigued or overworked, or maybe even dislike of your job. I had appreciated what Jason said a few Sundays ago in his lesson about before and even during work, taking the time to pray to get yourself in the right mindset, a spiritual mindset. Through good days and bad, thanking the Lord for good moments and asking for strength and patience to get through difficult days. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things to the glory of God, or for the glory of God. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24, it says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, and not for man, not for men, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. In everything we do, it should bring honor and glory to God, this including how we work. We should be working like God is our boss, that we are ultimately working for the Lord so that we can bring glory and honor to Him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, it says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So just as servants were bound by one another to render service, whether voluntary or not, it is the same for us when we are working. We should have a simple, sincere desire to do what ought to be done, providing proper service to our boss or bosses. And when you do, you are in fact serving God, or serving the Lord, and that you are doing that which will be well-pleasing to Him. Now let's look at the flip side of things, and that is rest. Just as the Lord created work, He also created rest. We were never meant to be workaholics, and work was never meant to be this at the center of our lives. That space is reserved for God. And yet there are people who work 70, 80 hours a week and think they are the masters of their jobs. But in reality, they are a slave. They are a slave to it. In doing this, what happens? Physical well-being is neglected. Family is neglected. Spiritual well-being is neglected, causing all sorts of problems. Putting too much emphasis on physical work and not enough on the spiritual aspect of life can cause an imbalance. But if we trust in God and take time to enjoy what the Lord has provided for us, even rest, we can have a peace of mind while the world around us is filled with anxiety and restlessness, busy, bustling, and full of worries. So never stop serving the Lord, and even in our retirement years, taking the time for self-indulgence, but more time serving the Lord. Put Him at the center of your life and find lasting joy and peace and satisfaction in all that we do in our work. The next part of balance with our personal well-being. When we think about our personal well-being, we think about what shape our bodies are in, what our emotional state is, and where we are at spiritually. Finding balance in these aspects of our personal well-being can be difficult. So what does the Bible say about personal balance? Our bodies are the vessel that houses our spirit. It's important that we take care of what God has provided for us, and even more importantly, our spiritual bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought for a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Taking care of our body glorifies God, so when we choose to live a lifestyle that does not practice self-control, things become unbalanced. It's like when you were a kid and you got a new toy, either it be a doll or a G.I. Joe. For me, it was G.I. Joes. So it's like getting a G.I. Joe, and you know, with the G.I. Joes, they had a rubber like band in the center that held the torso to the legs. And you could stretch and stretch and stretch those. And you know, if you played with them too hard and you stretched them too far, they would eventually break, you know, and they'd break in half. So our bodies are not invincible, so not taking care of them can cause problems. And it's the same for our spiritual bodies. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, in our bodies. We are His temple. They should not be defiled or polluted by sin as the Spirit is in us. We belong to God. We are His by redemption, by a precious price paid. and we should devote ourselves, our body, soul, and spirit to Him. So how do we take care of our physical and spiritual bodies? The answer is by practicing self-control. It is a great way to keep your body in check and honors God when treated with respect. So about a month and a half ago, I decided I wanted to experiment with some cooking, and I found this recipe online. And it was for something called the Korean corn dog, and I'm like, I'm going to try this. So, and what it is it's got the skewer for the corn dog. It's got half of a hot dog. The other half is a piece of mozzarella. It is battered, rolled in diced potatoes that are seasoned and then deep fried. It's almost like fair food. It's really, really good. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because I wouldn't want to eat one of those every single day because I know that it would not be good for my body, even though it's delicious. So in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit." When we have self-control, we maintain our moral values and keep our desires, passions, and thoughts in check. While the person who does not lie is exposed to all temptations of the world, becoming easy prey for the enemy. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When we are in a right relationship with Jesus, we produce the fruits of self-control. It is a result of being connected to Christ. It is more than just controlling one's behavior, but rather it is the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now let's talk emotional state. Emotional imbalance can come from a variety of things in life. For example, everyday stress like bills piling up, lack of sleep, family troubles, job stress. This can become unbalanced, especially when several things pile up in a person's life at once. Other examples may include a mental illness or trauma we've experienced in our lives. And while we have the options to turn to, like therapy or medications, the only true help that anyone would ever need is Jesus. So what does the Bible say about our emotions and the best way to handle these feelings in a way that is pleasing to Him and others? Because emotional balance can vary and is caused by intense feelings given too much weight. In Romans chapter 8, verses 28, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. For those who love God, we think of our emotional troubles as opportunities to grow spiritually, as opposed to others that resolve to complaining instead of peace, impatient and hatred instead of calmness, patience and love." We can handle more of what life throws at us because we know God is working in our lives. And if we are faithful according to His will and purpose, we can take great comfort in knowing that God is there for us, even though through tough times. And while others fall into the trap of hardening their hearts and blaming others, including God for their troubles in life, letting their emotions dictate their actions. In James chapter 1, in verse 19, it says, "You know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Now everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God." If we are emotionally imbalanced, we can make the mistake of letting our emotions get the best of us. And instead of thinking things through and paying attention to what we say, we can make things worse and wind up reacting or regretting our actions. So how do we prevent this from happening? By turning to God for strength. In Psalms chapter 34, verses 17, it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles." A benefit and advantage of having God in our lives is that we have the privilege of calling upon the Lord through prayer. Knowing that the Lord will hear us when we are struggling and deliver us from our troubles is comforting. I can't imagine what a world would be like if we did not have a loving God. And it makes me appreciate so much more that we have that support system and comfort that the Lord provides. So the second category in living having a balanced life is family. Family is a concept that appears in the Bible over and over. Family was one of the first things the Lord created for us, setting in motion the building blocks of humanity. So when God is removed from the picture, it all falls apart and becomes imbalanced. So when we talk about family, two things come to mind: marriage and our relationship with our children. So what does the Bible say about balance in these aspects of our family life? So in marriage is a lot like caring for a plant or a tree. When it is properly cared for and has the right conditions like enough light, the correct amount of water, fresh soil, fertilizer, it thrives. We work hard to maintain a healthy looking plant or tree, but sometimes outside influences get in the way, like weather causing a negative effect on the health of the tree or plant, or times of our own neglect of care can cause an issue. So life is messy. So having our priorities in order with due diligence and daily investment of our time, we can maintain a healthy, balanced marriage. So the first thing to consider is what your priorities are in your marriage. It should be God first, then marriage, then children, and then work. Rearranging this order can cause imbalance and disarray. Sometimes life circumstances might require you to temporarily shift your focus, but not rearrange your priorities. Keeping God first in your marriage will provide a loving, stable marriage, and also having a solid prayer life with a deep relationship with God are essential for balance in your marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, it says, "Nevertheless, as for you individually, each husband is to love his own wife the same as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." And then in chapter 5, verses 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." There's nothing wrong with a husband loving his wife too much. We are commanded to love our wives as Christ loved the church. How can a husband do better than that? Jesus set the bar for us, and we should follow in his footsteps to promote the happiness of our wives, to watch by her in sickness, in health, and in life. With wives, it's important to honor and respect your husbands on God's authority, who commanded it, to have high respect for your husbands and to hold them in great esteem. So ask yourself, do you have balance in your marriage? If not, then perhaps action needs to be taken. Going back to the plant analogy, maybe your plant needs to be watered. Maybe it needs fertilizer. Maybe a fresh start in new soil in a new area that gets better sun. Sometimes you need to assess the needs of your marriage and gauge the health that it's in. So how do we do this? Well, you got to start by asking yourself questions like, is your spouse happy? Are you happy? What's the tone of your home? Asking for advice from fellow Christian couples, asking for help from others can help wonders, because sometimes having an outside perspective can help you see something that you may not have noticed or thought of. If it's a minor adjustment, talk to your spouse and pray about it. Communication is key, not just with each other, but with God as well. Come up with a game plan together to readjust your lifestyle to create stability and peace in your marriage. The main thing is, when you think about it, going back to the plant and tree analogy, is that God provides everything needed for a plant or a tree to grow. It provides the sun, the rain, and the food for the plant and tree to grow. And it's the same thing in our marriage. Everything is provided for us to have a healthy marriage. If we keep God in the center of our lives, or the center of our marriage, he will provide for us in abundance, and our marriage, or your marriage, will thrive. So the next thing I want to talk about is relationships with our children. It's challenging nowadays as a parent with so many distractions that can shift ours and our children's focus and bring about imbalance. technological advancements and gadgets, social media, YouTube, TV shows, extracurricular activities. And while we want our children to have full and happy lives, it's easy to get caught up in what the physical world has to offer for both the children and the parents. When this happens, aspects of life are neglected. Parent-child relationships are ignored. Spiritual life is put aside. And other things allowing spiritual life is put aside for other things, allowing for ourselves to be overwhelmed easily. So how do we prevent ourselves from falling into this trap, causing an imbalance in our relationships with our children? In Luke chapter 12, verse 34, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The first thing is we should examine where our priorities are. Are they in what the world has to offer or what the Lord has to offer? If we shift our focus instead on to godly principles, we can keep ourselves from being distracted and improve our relationships with our children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of me, not just as I also, or be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ." Knowing the truth and how to live so that you can lead by example with your children is a must, just as we follow Jesus' example in how we live. So I have three scriptures I'm going to read to you. The first one is in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, which says, "Train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he grows older, he will not abandon it." And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And the last scripture is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, which says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." So having a solid foundation on what the Bible teaches is key. And having the knowledge and understanding gives you a guideline on how to instruct your children to prepare them and keep them from the sins and snares of this world, so that as they get older, it is hoped that they would not depart from the Lord. It is important as a parent that we do our part to provide the support and structure needed for a solid spiritual foundation in what the Bible teaches. And part of that is proper discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness." I always remember something that Beth Grandma said to me, that children are like trees. And I know what your guys are thinking. He's going back to the tree analogy again. Trust me, this is good. So I always remembered something about what Beth's grandma said to me. She said that children are like trees and that are newly planted. And if they are not supported, the trunk and branches will grow crooked. Once they start down that path, it becomes harder and harder to straighten them out. So having that support and foundation through our child's lives will only help as they mature. And if we don't support our kids with godly principles, they will be less prepared to handle life's challenges, becoming more easily susceptible to sin if they had been supported. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 15 through 16, it says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart also will be glad, and my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." Nothing in this world can bring more joy to a parent than to have their children grow up to become strong in the faith and truth through Jesus Christ. So the third and final category that I want to talk about in having a balanced life is our spiritual life. For Christians, finding balance is more about serving God than balance. Balance implies that we examine all parts of our lives and we allocate our time and resources, evenly distributing them. It's when God is placed in the mix just as one priority among many that this approach becomes a problem. As God should be the first priority over everything else. Everything else should come second. The goal is to bring all areas of life into harmony with God's will and to follow and obey Him. If we do in our spiritual lives, balance will take care of itself. So how do we keep ourselves balanced spiritually? Well, the first thing is through self-evaluation. Just like when we have a physical to see how our bodies are holding up, we should be doing the same spiritually. God encourages us to look inward in order to identify areas in our lives where we are weak spiritually, so we may make changes in our lives to grow and to also identify problems before they become out of control. In James chapter 1, verses 23 through 24, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." When we look in a mirror, we can see all the features, see all of our features. We can see any defects or blemishes of our person, making us aware of them. However, when we walk away from the mirror, it's like saying out of sight, out of mind. When unseen, it gives no uneasiness, and even it's something that can be corrected, not a second thought is given to it. So when we hear the word of the Lord of God, or when we hear the word of God, it's like a mirror being held before us. We see our own shortcomings, and instead of turning away and forgetting what was revealed, we as Christians instead strive to remove defects and blemishes from our moral character and grow in our walk with Christ. The second is having the right attitude and getting the right nourishment. Getting the right nourishment will help in keeping spiritual balance. No one can deny the importance of nutrition in our lives. Our energy levels, our ability to cope with life challenges, and even our attitudes are directly linked to proper intake of the right foods. The same can be said about our spiritual life. Without regular nourishment, our souls long to be fed. When we fail to take the time and energy out of our day for the Lord, we start to operate on more physical, fleshly aspects of our lives. We get shallow, demanding, selfish, less gentle, quick to react, impatient, all signs of a spiritual imbalance. Jesus is the support of spiritual life. His word gives life and peace to the soul. So when we take advantage of the opportunities provided to us to nourish us spiritually and keep us balanced, like going to church on Sundays, attending classes, Bible studies, reading the Bible regularly, and praying, if we keep ourselves full on spiritual food, it is less likely that we'll have room for things in life that can cause us to be unbalanced. So the second and saying a very important aspect of our spiritual life is prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." If our prayer life is out of order, how can we rely on God to help us? Communication is an important part of our everyday lives. Should it be any different spiritually? There is nothing in our lives, physically or spiritually, that cannot be spread out before the Lord. And it's important that we express our needs to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ." We should be consistent in our prayer life, whether it's done alone, with family, and around others, others that you know. We should be compelled to call upon the Lord as needed, to be in such a frame of mind as to be ready to pray anytime, anywhere. When I was working at Lowe's a couple of years ago, we had a guy working for us. His name was Gene, super nice guy. And he was having some problems in his life, and I was just talking to him a little bit, and I was like, you know, hey, I'll pray for you. And he's like, well, let's pray right now. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I never had that happen before, so I thought that was the neatest thing. So it's being in that right spiritual mindset to be able to call upon the Lord as needed, anytime, anywhere. When we are not in the correct state of mind with our prayer life, and we become distracted, this can cause an imbalance in our spiritual lives. So, in short, when it comes to our spiritual lives, the Bible says that we should be balanced by placing all hope fully on God, who richly provides with everything, enjoying blessings while not putting any hope, or physical blessings without putting any hope in them. If there is any of you today that are struggling spiritually, struggling with balance in life, please let us know as we sing the song of invitation.